Raleigh, North Carolina, it's Jay and Jack's Ramblecast, a podcast about movies, television, games, music, sports, and anything else we want to talk about. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Ramblecast. It's your good friends, Jay and Jack. We're back for the summer of 2016. It's Jay and Jack's Ramblecast.
Yay! Yay!
Action Jackson, it is yet another summer...
Is this how many years?
Summertime. Well, the first summer when we started the Ramblecast was... 2006, so 10 years, actually. This is our 10-year Ramblecast anniversary.
Rambleversity, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
The Rambleversary.
Rambleversary.
Well,
congratulations. I didn't get you anything.
You didn't. It was a year ago or so, we had our 10-year Lost anniversary, and now we have our 10-year
I didn't get you anything then either.
Yeah, you know, I thought you would have maybe after not giving me something that time.
Well, the last one, I did let you kind of share with my award for most best entertainment podcast. You know, they just gave out the awards and we weren't even nominated.
Well, we didn't try. It's the
is that how you're looking at it?
It's like, yeah, it's just the main hallmark. You generally have to try.
So
if you
like people don't win an Oscar. You go, okay, I didn't like when. Ben Affleck did Gigi. That was
Geely.
Yes. He goes, you know what? I could have tried for the Oscar, but I decided not to try.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. He was probably drunk.
But you know, you have to campaign to get like nominated, and
yeah,
so it's a big process.
Yeah, I didn't even know that anything was going on. I just saw that.
That's what I'm saying, you're not even paying attention like when the stuff's happening. So how do you expect to win?
Oh, I just thought there'd be the write-in, you know.
You know, you are, because you're a 10, 11-year-old podcaster, so you're somewhat a millennial podcaster. You feel entitled to...
Well, should I get some, like, an achievement award? Going last... Because, you know, people always say on their podcast, this is podcast six, number 125. I couldn't keep track. I don't know how they keep track. I guess they just go all they go on the, you know, when you... do each podcast, it does show you how many they...
Well, with the age of this podcast, I guess it's technically a Generation Z is... So Zach is in Generation Z.
Right.
So it's like post-2000 babies. But.
Again, I'm not out for the awards. The awards don't mean anything to me. It's the cash.
Yes. you're still living off the cash you got from the last podcast award.
Oh, so. Exactly. Exactly. I was going to retire. I said, you know what? You know, that pension I got, that great pension we got from ABC was pretty good. But I said, nah, I'll keep working.
What better things do I have to do?
For what?
With your time.
With my time? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do? I can only mow the lawn so often. And, yeah. You know.
So the first ever Ramblecast, we introduced a couple segments. We moved over the five to the Ramblecast from the Lost podcast. And we had a segment called Versus.
Was the five on the Lost podcast?
Yeah, the five started out on the Lost podcast, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, so when we split the Lost podcast into two shows, the end of the second Lost podcast, the Monday show, we would do the five.
Oh, questions I forgot all about
Jack,
that.
The five.
It's so, like you know when you forgot we had a spoiler host and a news host, right?
Yeah. Well, I remember the news. Well, we had a couple different news hosts. I know Doc Arts was it for a little while, and
was he?
Yeah, I remember like for half a season or something like that. We had a lot of different stuff. I mean, if you podcast for over a decade, you generally will try different things from time to time.
You know, I just forget about the people we walked all over to climb to the top. I guess. I'm kidding. Don't send your hate mail.
For those maybe getting reintroduced to the Ramblecast, Jack, what is the Ramblecast, or why was it born?
It was born because of people would complain that we rambled too much on the Lost podcast, which of course only extended how much we would ramble on the Lost podcast, and we said, you know what? Let's do a Ramblecast where we just can ramble and do whatever we want.
Yeah.
They don't stay on topic.
And honestly.
So basically, when you wrote a review like that, we were just making fun of you behind the scenes.
Well, you did. I actually cared, but you would definitely
It's not that I didn't care, but I'm just saying, you know, there's 5,000 other Lost podcasts. Go get one of the more structured ones.
But, you know, actually, really, our Lost podcast was fairly structured. It was fairly
structured. It was, but, you know, sometimes we'd go off on a tangent that,
Yes, and the Ramblecast kind of helps solve that a little, because then we could get a rambling out of our system in this show. So we could talk about other things, other TV shows, movies, what's going on.
Your mom and I just did a Hell on Wheels podcast, and the first 9 minutes we're talking about our grandson.
Yeah, the Jack and Cindy shows are definitely less structured.
Well, to be fair to me, it's your mom that goes off topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed.
You need to get her close. I just listened to, I think, Hell on Wheels 1.2. You need to get her closer to the mic. She was a little low on the volume.
Literally, I take the mic and shove it into her face. As violent as that sounds, because she doesn't. You know how I used to wander?
Yeah, yeah.
She does that. So I grab the handle of the mic, because it's both on the desk here, and I'll take it like this. She goes, oh, I'm not. She mouths, I'm not. I go, no, speak up. So I'm constantly turning up. It's, you don't understand, because you got to work with me.
No, see, you should have a greater appreciation for me now and what I had to go through.
It is, you know, you don't. She it just. I'm too loud. I go, but you start fading. Literally chasing around the room with the microphone. It's like a mother trying to get her child to eat when they're younger. She's trying to feed them food and, you know, chase them around the house. I go, you got to speak into the mic.
But
of course, if I said that on air, I would come across looking like the bad guy.
I will also say, on the last Hell on Wheels, you promised that you guys would record on Saturday, and I think it's Tuesday now.
We explained. That's how we got off topic.
Okay. Because you're gonna blame your poor grandson, adorable grandson.
Well, that's how it all started. I mean, seriously, that's what happened. It's a fact.
I get it. Well, before we get into our festivities here, want to thank people that make all of our shows possible, and that's our patrons over at patreon.com/JayandJack. For whatever you can contribute, $1 to $500, different levels everywhere. And Jack says you can even give $1 million if you want to give
$1 million. Think of the tax write off.
Well, it's not a charity though.
Oh, I'm a charity.
I guess you could say it's a business loss, maybe.
Yeah,
it's a loss.
Yeah,
because I don't know if this podcast would ever be worth giving out. I'll tell you right now,
the first person that donates $1 million, I will give them the 2006 podcast award.
No, you can't just. That's like those guys that sell their, you know, World Series rings or trophies and stuff like that.
I'll take a picture of it. It'll be in my memory forever.
But it says Jay and Jack on it. It's not just yours.
You get half the money. Stop complaining. It's $1 million.
I don't need half $1 million.
It would make the news. It would make the podcast more. I mean, because who's ever given $1 million to a podcaster?
I'm sure there's been, like, Adam Carolla, like the really popular ones.
He probably gets it with advertisement and stuff like that. But I'm telling you. You can have this. I'm looking at it right now. It's a beautiful award. So if you're second, you don't get anything. I'm not promising you anything. But if you're the first person,
and it's not because we don't want to give you one more. It's just that's the only one we ever won.
if we had won another one, if there was a best produced podcast, you could have that one too. But no, I will give you. We will give you that award.
Wait, I haven't voted yes yet.
But it's not your. It's. You don't have it. It's in my house.
It's in my possession. Our studio.
9/10 of the law. It's in my house.
Oh man. I just whatever.
I'm staring at it right now.
Technically I think it's Zach's. Like, you know, when we're all, you know, dead and he doesn't give two craps about it, it'll go to him, right? Is that the
Sure, We'll donate it to Zach.
There won't be any money for him because, you know, podcasting is not the most lucrative career. But
if Zach had $1 million, then Kevin, we'll give it to him.
Well, basically, it'll have a note saying, we could have sold this for $1 million, Zach, and you could have, you know, had, you know, an easy life. But here, you can have this instead.
And it can't. I'm not saying $1 million in English pounds. Okay, it has to be in.
I think the pound is still technically above a dollar. I
thought it dropped below a dollar.
Did it drop below a dollar? Because it was like $1.50.
Be fair, I've been kind of out of the news for the last couple months. I mean, I had a lot going on. Some know, some don't know. And especially the last couple weeks, I've really just kind of blanked out and not really paid too much attention to anything.
Yeah.
So when all that happened, people, I go, what do you think? I go, think of what? I don't, what are you talking about? No idea what was even going on. So I apologize to the people in England that I wasn't paying attention.
Well, the stocks have rebounded today. The markets have rebounded a bit today, which is good.
Oh, you know they would.
Yeah, exactly.
You get those initial panic, ah! And then people go, okay.
Yeah, because let's see, sterling is still 133 British pounds, so $1.30. So it seems to have dropped like 20 cents on its average. The euro is almost to a dollar, which is surprising, but yeah. So, but hey, you know, it's a good time to be an American, and hopefully this, you know, shocks people into not voting for Trump. So it'll be a good thing. Good thing. But we're not going to get too far into politics. I think I was thanking our patrons. So go to jandjack.com, click the Become a Patron link for $1, whatever. There's a bunch of different tiers. We have over 130 patrons. We crossed the $800 a month threshold, which is amazing. Thank you so much. And you know, we have a lot of shows that we put out there. We have a whole enchilada feed. That's all of them. That's your buffet of Jay and Jack Productions podcast. And some of the ones we've been doing this summer are the Hell on Wheels podcast, the Ramblecast, which is our summer show. Game of Thrones just wrapped up, but we do have some Lost podcasts planned during the summer as well. We've also been doing Married Man Show with a rotating guest host, which will probably rotating guest host will probably wrap up at some point in this summer. And then I guess, you know, we'll maybe get to where we'll have official hosts alongside Jack and I, which would be pretty exciting. And we also have a female show, so Life from a Female Perspective, called The Broadcast, which is kind of, I guess you could say it's a counterpoint to The Married Man Show, which has a couple episodes in.
Is it sexist?
To men?
To men. I mean,
no. I've listened to both. They're both really good. I'm a big fan of Shandy. I know my wife's on it, but I'm kind of a hashtag Shandy fan. but it's really good. Because I think, you know, there's some things that you're from the woman's perspective that, you know, this is a fairly, you know, male driven podcast company, since there's two guys that are kind of the founding fathers of this podcast. So, you know, your shows with my mom, your wife, and then this kind of female life perspective show.
You know, your mom's the only reason she does the Hell on Wheels podcast. The only reason she watches it is because she's in love with Bohannon.
I don't want to reduce a woman to just liking a guy, because they're more, you know, multifaceted than that.
She said it. I mean, I
get it.
Flat out
said it. But it's broadcast. They've had a couple. Those are really fun. And so definitely check it all out. We'll be podcasting all summer long, and we're able to do that because of our patrons. So thank you very much. We also have a great promotion going on right now with Loot Crate over at lootcrate.com/JayandJack. For less than $20 a month, you get $45 worth of geeky goodness sent to your doorstep once a month. Each month has its own theme. Jack, what is this month's theme?
This one is excellent. You get your own podcast award. you get it.
For less than $20, we can get more? Is that all it takes?
Exactly. For $20 a month, you can become a podcast award winner. You can put it on your resume.
That's great. That's great. So if you go to lootcrate.com/JayandJack, and you can use a promo code to get a discount on your first month, use the promo code JayandJack. Sign up today. And bypass the years of hard work of podcasting and just get yourself a podcast award.
you know, kids will be wearing them around their neck on a chain.
It would probably be very cool. It's not light by any means. You know, it's not made out of steel, but, you know, it's an acrylic.
It's cool. You remember, like, when Susan Lucci, when she was on Saturday Night Live, and she hadn't won the Emmy yet? And so everybody on Saturday Night Live is going around. The janitor had an Emmy. They wear them around their neck. Do you remember that episode?
Yes.
So that's what kids today, everyone will have a podcast award. Unless you don't sign up if you don't sign up for Loot Crate, then you don't get one.
Simple as that.
I did have a question for you.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You said something about Trump. Say Trump is listening.
Yeah.
What else would he be doing?
Sure, you're right. You're right.
So he goes, well, I have $1 million. Mm-hmm. I want that award.
Huh.
He's got an ego, so he wants that award. But Hillary's listening.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got money too.
Yeah.
And she's got an ego. Well, anyone in politics has an ego.
You have to have an ego. Yeah, absolutely.
What if a bidding war starts over our podcast award?
Mm-hmm.
How high do you think it could go?
I don't know how high it would go because I don't even think it's worth $1 million.
But again, they're politicians and they'll do anything for a vote, and their egos, they could say, hey, you know, elect me for president. I have a podcast award. I mean, they don't know about Luke Craig yet. They don't know about that yet. So
I mean, I'm not too much a fan of either candidate, but I think I would have to just lean towards the one that's not using like xenophobia and racism to scare people into voting. The lesser of two evils in that extent.
I told someone the other day this will be the first time since I first voted in 1980 that I don't vote for one of the two.
Oh, so you're doing the protest vote. So you're going to go libertarian or something like that?
I just can't vote for either one. I can't.
I understand the dividing of the votes. I got to make sure that Trump doesn't win. And To me,
like I said, yeah, I don't want that either. But I just can't do it.
No, I get it. I get it.
So it's the first time since 1980 that I haven't voted for one of the two major parties. To be honest with you, I'd like to see Sanders run and see someone from the Republic, like maybe Romney jump in there and run. And we have four people running.
We already had Romney. He was kind of boring.
But no, it just screws everything up.
Oh, you're saying like break the system.
Just breaks the system. And both sides realize they can't keep, not to get political, but they can't keep, you know, sticking their podcast award up, you know, where the sun doesn't shine. And they start doing what's actually right for the country and putting it back on the right track.
Yes, but in all fairness, like in the corruption index and, you know, good government index, the American government, for better or worse, is still a very, very good
government, but
comparatively.
But it's so corrupt, though. I mean, we look at
political system is going to be corrupt.
It's like, but they're all corrupt, and we go, oh, you know, but that one's less corrupt than that one. I get it. Just it's a business for these people. It's I don't know. I don't want to talk politics. I've actually decided I don't care about the debates. I'm not even paying attention to either one of them. I don't pay attention to their supporters. I'm done. I've made my decision. I just got to decide who to vote for now. But it won't be one of those two.
Well, there you go. The official word from Jack.
I wish Biden had run. I've always liked him. I don't know why. He says stupid stuff, but I like him.
No, I get it, but I get why he didn't run, you know, with things going on in his family.
I get it, but I just like, I think he regrets it though.
He had time to think about it.
I think, but he was, you know, his son recently died, and that was a tragic thing. And I think looking back on now,
if Zach died, like my world would be over. Like I don't know.
I get that. I get that. But rumors have come out that he's, you know, that he does regret not going in. Because now he can't wait 8 more years. He'd be too old.
Sure, sure.
He's almost too old now. Mm. But the hair's growing back, so you got to respect that.
let's move on to happier topics. How about why you didn't do your Hell on Wheels podcast on Saturday? It's because you were kind enough to watch.
Well, we got asked the last. I mean, we made a commitment on the second podcast saying, "Hey, we will record Saturday night after Hell on Wheels."
Yeah.
Well, we get this late notice from somebody. Hey, can you watch Zach? We want to go to get a massage and go see a movie. I go, oh, are you kidding me? I committed. Okay. So we said, yeah, okay, we dropped it. And then so we were going to do Sunday, but your mom had to work off from like 9 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night. So she was too tired. We're going to do Monday.
Now, can you just tell her that if you're going to be a podcast, you can't be pulling the whole, I worked all day.
That's what I told her. I said, you got to see that award? That was hard work. That wasn't someone didn't. I didn't just get it in the mail.
That was for less hours, than $20 a month.
Yeah, that was hours and hours and hours of hard work.
Yes, yes.
But anyway, so she, you know, she goes, but she was sick on Monday. So I told her today, she was still sick today. I go, can we do it today? Can we record today? There's only a few more episodes to go. You're the one that wanted to do it, but. She said today, she goes, you're doing that Scandal podcast. I said, okay, I'll do it, but I don't want to have to go back and watch the other episodes.
But yeah, if you you have to put the effort. You can't be lazy podcaster on that one. You got to, you know, at least come in.
I've seen it like 3 or 4 episodes. The first year, I watched most of the first season.
Because I think the Jack and Cindy podcast lineage is very much how you watch movies. I think you're just going, you know, okay, you had Dancing with the Stars. Now I get Hell on Wheels, but now you got to do Scandal.
No, she wanted to do Hell on Wheels. She wanted to do it. But I got into Dancing.
Blink
with
twice
the Stars.
if you're under duress.
It's Morse code. No, I actually got into Dancing with the Stars.
That's cute. That's adorable.
I'm serious. I almost hate to admit it, but I enjoyed it.
So did you guys have a good day on Saturday then?
It was a fun day, except for when my grandson threw a hissy fit and hit me where I shouldn't be hit.
He has like a knack for like kicking you square in the nether regions. Like, he has a knack
up,
for it.
I picked him up and turned him around. He just kicks his feet through a fit. Because I'll be honest with you, I don't remember you guys doing that at that age.
Yeah.
You guys just didn't throw fits like that. I mean,
he's strong. He's
yeah, and he just kicked back, and his leg came back, hit me underneath in the right spot, and I went, oh, and you know how, well, guys at home will know what I'm talking about. It doesn't hit you right away. It's like there's like a 5-second delay.
Mm-hmm. So actually, a good description is watch the Eddie Murphy bit about getting hit in the junk.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great description.
Yeah. So I slowly set him down, and he just runs off, and I go, ah! So he goes, what? I go, oh, he got me. He got me, and I'm just laying there. And so, you know, as you sit there, the pain gets worse.
Yes.
It's like, I don't know, someone slowly chopping off your arm. It hurts at first, but as they're cutting into the bone and all that stuff, the pain just gets worse and worse and worse. But yeah, I just kind of looked at myself, Zach. He didn't care. He goes, and then your mom goes, tell Papa you're sorry. Sorry, Papa. All right, Zach, I know you didn't mean it. I'm okay. It still hurt later on that night, but I'm fine.
Well, that's where when he does the temperature, I keep him at a distance. You just have to like hold him away.
Well, I know that.
Body.
I know that now. But he just started doing these things. He hadn't really been doing them that. You know, he'd do a little where he'd throw himself on the ground for a second, and then look at when you did kind of laughing at him. He'd go, "All right, this isn't working."
Yeah.
Yeah, he's definitely stubborn. So he has both you and your wife's stubbornness.
Well, I'm stubborn. Colleen's impatient, so he has both, which isn't a good combo.
That's true. He wants it now. He wants the whole world.
Yes.
and you're Mike TV. So.
And I don't want to say that his grandparents have given him the whole world, so that's what he expects. But not going to cast any blame or anything.
Oh, I don't spoil him. So this
no,
I'm
you're right.
I'm tough on him.
Home with a new toy every time he goes.
He's coming home with this podcast award next Thursday.
That's and then it'll be in my house, so then I don't have to sell it.
You don't have to sell it.
But yeah, so thank you again for Colleen and I kind of you know it's been kind of a tough time in the Glatfelter world.
It has been.
Colleen kind of cheered me up. I was like, let's do a spa day or something. So here there is a really nice kind of 5-star hotel called the Umstead, and they have a spa there. And I've done a couple of massages, but I never had like a really good massage. And everybody kind of raves about their spa there. So we did a couple's 80-minute massage session, and it was amazing. It was great.
So you're saying to help you cope with what happened, you went to a couple's massage, went to a nice movie.
Yeah.
I power washed the house.
Oh, nice.
So I think that's kind of was my release there.
But it was amazing. Like it was just like the masseuse that I had, she was great. Like she, cause I got a sweet, and again, I'm not a connoisseur of massages, but I got a Swedish massage, but yeah. She did it with just the right amount of pressure. Like, so it wasn't like, there were some points where it was like, it's kind of a pain, but it was like a good pain. But it wasn't like, you know, I'm miserable kind of. It was a good.
It wasn't a Zachary temper tantrum pain.
No, it wasn't a swift kick in the balls, yeah. So to speak.
Yeah.
not to be vulgar, yeah. But she's like because it was 80 minutes, it was like a full on body massage. It was great. It was great.
So was there any movement or just
no? And it was so good. Because I always worry about that, and not to go too far into the merry man world, but I was the last time Colleen and I did a couples massage, there was, and I was really embarrassed by it. But this time there wasn't, because it was just so good, and like she like worked my fingers and my toes, and it was fantastic.
So are you laying on your back, then you flip over to the other side?
You start on your stomach, and then you flip on your back.
Yeah,
it's like 40 minutes each side or something like that. But
so you're just concentrating on something else? You just
no, it was so good. Like, she did such a good job. Like, I wasn't even thinking about whatever.
Okay.
No, it was fantastic. Because you can use the facilities, and it's a really nice hotel. So they have like one of those like, you know, edgeless pools. So we like hung out at the pool.
Oh, really?
And got drinks at the pool, and they had it's a full like the
So you had drinks by the pool too?
Yeah, so drinks by the pool, because you can use the facilities like that day.
I had something similar when I was power washing. The water was splashing on top of me at one point. So it was similar.
Similar, yeah. Well, so then some other things might be similar. So the spa, it's like separated for the men and women. So there's like the men's area is like clothing optional. I wear clothes because I'm ashamed of my body. They have like a steam room and then a sauna.
Were there guys walking around who weren't ashamed of their body?
Yeah, there was some. There was a naked guy in the sauna. So when I went, I was like, yeah, okay, whatever. I'll just deal with it. And then he left, so he might have been ashamed that I walked in there.
I've done that before too, where you walk in, the guy's full on naked, and you kind of you can't stutter. You gotta keep walking.
You gotta play it cool.
Like, yeah, I've seen this before. Sit there, and you got your bathing suit on. You're just kind of looking around.
But it was so fake. Like, you know, you go in, and you have your own locker, and you have your own like really nice robe that you can wear. And then you have like there's a lounge area just for the men, and then there's like a co-ed one where then you can't be naked in that one. You know, understandably.
Oh, they got rules.
But so it was great. It was just a really nice, relaxing time. It was really good. So thank you, Colleen, for that. And then we saw a movie, Central Intelligence with Kevin Hart and The Rock, which I think you've even said it before. Kevin Hart, he has kind of he's a bit of a one-trick pony, and there's not necessarily anything wrong with it.
No, he's funny.
Because Will Ferrell's a one-trick pony, but...
They did a movie together.
Yeah.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
It was good.
But anytime you see Kevin Hart, it's like they just go, okay, we're going to take Kevin Hart, we're going to put him here. And if I'm here, what's the script? It's the same one. Just let Kevin Hart do what he does.
And he's funny. And it's good. Like, so this one, it was really funny. Like, it was a really fun movie. Good cast in it. And I thought Dwayne The Rock Johnson played a really funny character. And it's just that, because Kevin Hart's so small, he does well in those, like, little guy, big guy, kind of like, you know, twins or you
well,
know.
He was in that movie with Jorge.
Yeah, The Wedding Ringer.
Wedding Ringer, yeah. He was in there with Jorge.
But, you know, it was really funny, really enjoyable. Like I said, a few cameos that I thought were pretty funny. Laughed throughout. So I would definitely give it two thumbs up. Sorry, out of five, I would give it three thumbs.
So it's better, getting better Rotten Tomato reviews than Ninja Turtles and what's the other one that came out? Oh, Independence Day, I guess.
Yeah, Independence Day did not do. Because we had the choice. Actually, we already saw Ninja Turtles because Colleen has randomly become a Ninja Turtles fan.
So you saw it?
Yeah, we went a couple weeks ago. I think whenever Heather babysit Zach, that's the movie we saw. I think. I know we saw it. Actually, it might have been when the in-laws were in town. We went and saw it because, you know, I didn't want to be in the house anymore. We saw that because it was Stephen Amell's first movie. The second Ninja Turtles just came out. Okay. And so Colleen is like in love with Stephen Amell. It's a little awkward.
Who's that? Why do I know that name?
That's Arrow.
Oh, okay, okay. That's why I know the name. Okay.
So she loves him. So much so that she went and met him and took a picture hugging.
Well, he's the one that told Spanos to keep his team in San Diego.
Well, so it was a little uncomfortable, but she loves him so much that while at Comic-Con, she went and met him and got a picture hugging him without me knowing about it, unbeknownst to me. So it was a little.
We should save that for the married men. Is that cheating?
I'm not going to say it is. You know, I'm not a jealous guy. You know, go have fun, whatever. But. You know, I felt a little, you know, a little slighted by it. Just a little slighted.
Well, luckily for him, for you, you have the same body shape.
I don't. You know, I have a beautiful dad bod, and I wear it proudly. you know, so I was like, oh, okay, yeah. So you're really holding on to him there, but and she brought Zach, which is kind of cheating. Because he's a cute kid.
Oh, yeah, that's not fair.
I'm not saying that I've been to Hooters and have used the same technique, but I'm just saying... because me and Zach's godfather will meet for lunch sometimes, and a couple of the times we met at Hooters with Zach.
Well, I know we took Zach to early dinner at Conkeys.
Mm-hmm.
He likes it there. And these two ladies were sitting there, and they kept staring. I go, what are they staring at? They were preschool. They were kindergarten teachers.
Yeah.
So they knew exactly. They guessed exactly how old he was.
That's good.
Did he just turn two? I go, he just turned two. But it was weird. They kept staring at him. I go, should I be concerned here?
I'm going to take your baby.
I will throw this hot soup in your face. Back off.
But no, it's the Ninja Turtle movie. It was okay. I like the original ones better. But Colleen's just like she went and watched the first Ninja Turtle movie, and then we watched the original Ninja Turtles movie. So it's kind of it's funny, you know, because Colleen kind of lived a sheltered life, so she wasn't really into the Ninja Turtles.
He's not in all those movies though.
He isn't, but I'm saying her gateway drug for the Turtles was Stephen Amell, and now she's like a Ninja Turtles fan. So there you go.
Yeah, do what you get. But it's funny when Independence. I saw the previews for Independence. We talked about it, didn't we? Talk about wasn't that one of our summers?
Our summer movie preview podcast.
Previews. When you told me Independence Day, I go, why? What is the need? Where could they possibly go with this? And I guess I was right.
Well, actually, there's something fun about those stupid disaster movies. And Colleen and I finally saw San Andreas because it's on HBO Now right now. Have you seen that one yet?
Well, whose fault was that?
What do you mean?
Whose fault was that?
Ah, ha, ha.
Sorry. San Andreas' fault.
it's like
I'm from Erie, PA. I've not seen that. No.
It is. It's a fun movie. It's a it's stereotypical kind of disaster film.
Who's it? The Rock's in that. Isn't
The Rock is in that one. Yeah. And it follows a lot of the stereotypes about like the big disaster films, but it was a fun movie. It was a lot of fun.
I saw Earthquake back in the 70s, so it's pretty similar.
Same idea, just like this devastating earthquake that kind of destroys California.
Was it Alan Irwin? Was it Irwin Allen?
I thought Charlton Heston was Earthquake.
Well, he's in it. No, I'm saying that it was the same producer, Irwin Allen.
Oh, I don't know.
No, great. Now we're not going to know. Let me see. Irwin Allen.
Oh, was he like the disaster film producer of the 70s?
Film director, Friday, Master of Disasters. Yeah, that's who it was. Irwin Allen. Poseidon Adventure, Towering Inferno, Volcano. If there was something that could kill you, it was his movie. But like Poseidon Adventure, still, I still think it's a underrated movie. I think I love.
Is it underrated? Like everybody, Poseidon Adventure is like a fairly popular movie. I don't think. It's
but people,
underrated.
When people say, "Hey, great movie," does anyone ever say Poseidon Adventure?
No, but would you really say it's a great movie? Like, is it The Godfather? Is it Citizen Kane?
It's a different, you know.
Is it Wizard of Oz? Like, is it Jaws? You know, so like.
It's for an adventure type movie. It's a pretty good movie. It's pretty
good, but it's not great.
What would you do if your ocean liner tipped over? Sorry, spoiler alert. if a 90-foot tidal wave hit your ocean liner and it flipped you upside down, what would you do? Would you follow the priest or the ship steward? What would you do? And they did a remake with the fake Matthew McConaughey. So there you go. Which wasn't nearly as good as the original. I see a trend here this season, that the movie season. Maybe we should have stuck with one. I'm not even getting to the movie that we're thinking about.
Well, you know, the Ghostbusters has spurred a lot of controversy. I'm still happy about it because Ecto Cooler came back, which I've been loving. Ecto Cooler. The Twinkies are starting to make their runs, which I haven't found any yet. So the toys have been really fun. And you know, the movie could still be a fun movie. You know, the trailer hasn't done it to any justice, but the movie could be a fun movie.
When does it come out?
July 15th, I think.
July 15th. So it's just around the corner.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to see? What do you think it gets? Do you think the audience is above 50% on Rotten Tomatoes or below 50%?
I think there's no way it can be above. Like, I feel like there's so much like negative.
Even if people go to it and see it and watch it and laugh, that you don't think people think it'll be ashamed to say, "Hey,
yeah,
it was fun."
I think there's like this. There's so much negative opinion about it, even though it's not even out yet and nobody's seen it. But there's just so much negative opinion about it.
You think people will be like, "Hey, I'm not going to admit that I even going to see it."
No, I think more people will say like they saw it, but they didn't see it and said it sucked. Like, I think about, it was horrible. It was terrible. And they probably didn't even see it.
Okay.
But I, you know, it's, I'm okay with trying new things with a property. Like, it's never going to be, the first movie is amazing. It's one of the best movies of all time.
That one we can agree on. You say, yeah, best.
Best comedy of, like, or best kind of, like, adventure comedy of all time.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely up there. And still holds up.
Yeah. Like it's a comedy, but it's also like a good movie too.
Well, it was different too. I mean, it had different,
it's like, yeah, it's like a horror comedy kind of thing. But
right.
But it's nothing's ever going to be that good. But I'm okay with trying something new and much like we've added the broadcast to the repertoire here of Jay and Jack Productions. It's okay to have a movie with an all female cast. Like
I'm not saying that you had Bridesmaids, which was hilarious.
Exactly. But I think
I don't know.
What's the harm? Like, it doesn't hurt the original movie.
Well, it doesn't hurt me.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt you.
I mean, I didn't invest in it. I don't care if it makes it or not. I won't go see it unless I hear you're going to be shocked. It's really funny. I hear that, then maybe I'll go see it.
Yeah.
Again, I'm on the page. It was the people that said I would have stopped at one. I think I've only seen the second one once all the way through.
And that's a shame because I think the second one is actually pretty good. The second one gets a lot of flack, but I think it's pretty good. Like it has good jokes throughout.
First one, I can't tell you how many times I've seen it.
I saw the
theater probably 10 times because it was so funny. But the second one,
But the second one has just as good lines in it that I use. I think the biggest problem with the second one is it's kind of repetitive. Like the plot is fairly repetitive, which is with a sequel it's tough. Like, do you go with similar plot? I think you've brought up before, you liked the second Hangover, even though it was basically the same plot again.
It was just a continuation.
It was the same plot. It was the same exact plot, but it was still funny.
I know, but it made me laugh.
I think there's funny parts in Ghostbusters 2.
I wouldn't say the second one is as good as the first one.
No, I don't think the second Ghostbusters is as good as the first one, but I think it's funny. It's the entire original cast back in the movie, and it's a continuation of the story. So, like,
my good friend Bill Murray was just, you know, he's just mailing it at that point.
No, it wasn't a phone in joke, because there's good jokes in it. There's good Bill Murray lines.
We talked about it one time. He said, "You know, I did it for the money."
But he did the first Ghostbusters for the money.
He was hoping for the podcast award.
Oh, sure. But so now I'm not upset by.
I'm not upset by it. I don't. It won't. It won't.
it doesn't waste any of my time. If people want to go see it, then go see it.
But on Sunday, I went to a concert, which was somewhat
what
random.
Shocked me when you said, what shocked me when you said you were going to see who you were going to see?
Yeah, so I've been a rock and roll fan for a long time. And there's kind of those rock and roll bands that are just those legendary rock and roll bands. And I've considered myself lucky that I've seen a lot of great bands. I've seen Aerosmith. I've seen Kiss. I've seen Heart. I've seen some of my favorite bands, Queens of the Stone Age, Mars Volta. I've been to a lot of shows, a lot of different concerts.
Seen the Beatles?
I have not seen the Beatles, but okay. Nobody really has since 1965. Or
your
whatever.
Mom saw the
she
Beatles.
She saw them, yeah.
But she's old.
But and I haven't seen Led Zeppelin. I've seen a Led Zeppelin cover band. Actually, I saw John Bonham's, or not John Bonham's son, his band.
Yeah, and that seemed just like we're there with Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, almost. and you know, just seen a lot of great bands perform. And there's some of those bands that kind of break up, and you never think they're going to get back together again. For a lot of different reasons. And Guns N' Roses was one of those bands where, or at least the original lineup, where Axl Rose is absolutely insane. Insane. like literally.
Well, he's an artist. And let's face it, some of these artists are, they're different.
Yeah.
That's what makes them so special.
You're right. Usually the best kind of artists are somewhat insane, right? Like there's something about being a great creator where
right.
You don't think like a normal person, right? If you're a great creator, you generally don't think like a normal person.
Because you're great writers, you're great, some of your great some of the most difficult people in the world to deal with because they just your great actors, they're great because they could become somebody,
mm-hmm.
but then they're just like a Sean Penn.
Yeah.
I've heard. I mean, he's a
horrible
he's
person, a, but a pretty good actor.
He's a great actor because he gets into that character and he's just, but off screen, he's most
but he's
people
a woman
say,
beater. So he's not a good person.
Yeah. Most people say he's a jerk.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, Sean, I'm sorry. I had to say it.
I just call it what it is. I would not want to ever meet him or hang out with him, but he's a puts out a great product. But so I never thought I would see Guns N' Roses live, and I like rock. Zeppelin's my favorite band, and Guns N' Roses I would think would be, if you had to kind of say like the biggest rock and roll band post Zeppelin, post Rolling Stones and Aerosmith, like that 70s era, was probably Guns N' Roses, arguably. I don't know. What are your feelings there? Because you were of an adult age when Guns N' Roses came to their height.
I think when Guns N' Roses, but I always said about Guns, I said this about a year ago on some podcast, I go, every day of your life, you hear a Guns N' Roses song. Every day.
Really?
I obviously didn't listen, but every day I hear a Guns N' Roses song. Like if you listen to Jim Rome, obviously "Welcome to the Jungle" is his lead-in song.
That's true.
But every day, if you listen to a top 40 radio station, you will hear Guns N' Roses every single day. I've never been a huge fan of Guns N' Roses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like their music, but because I listen to it every day. But I wouldn't hey, Guns N' Roses, they're okay.
Hey, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but they're definitely their moniker was like the most dangerous band in the world because they're just kind of crazy. They live that rock and roll lifestyle, and they really lived it. It wasn't fake; like they literally lived it. Axl Rose, not the most agreeable person in the world, but so they broke up in like the mid '90s and had animosity for decades. So I never thought they would kind of Slash and Axl Rose, Duff McKagan would never be on the stage again. So when they announced that they were going to reunite, it was really cool because I was like, wow, that's really neat. I didn't think there would be a chance in hell they would actually do the concerts because Axl Rose is notorious for just not showing up or saying he's going to do a tour and just not do it. But they've actually
which I don't get. That's just I don't care if you're an artist,
but that's Axl Rose, man. He's
I get that, but
not
you, I could I,
I couldn't work with someone like that.
And now you see why they didn't for 20-something years or whatever
right.
it was.
Literally, I'd probably take my guitar and hit him up over the head, smack him over the head.
So a coworker of mine is a huge Guns N' Roses fan. He's their biggest fan. Not biggest, but he's a big fan. It's his favorite band. And he was going to go, and his wife is going to be out of town, and he asked me to go. So I was like, yeah, sure, why not? But it was like months in advance. Like, yeah, sure, that's fine. And he's like, I'll buy tickets. I'm like, yeah, sure.
So you're hoping Axl didn't show up?
Yeah, well, because the show is in D.C., so it's like a 4.5-hour drive to D.C. It was at FedEx Field.
Yeah.
But it's like one of those things where it's like this concert was like 5 months out. And it's like somebody offers you, like, hey, let's do this. I'm like, yeah, sure, that's fine. But you're not really thinking about actually doing this.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Then I go, I said what?
So, you know, he ended up buying the tickets, and he wanted to get close. So they were like $300-something tickets apiece.
Whoa.
I gotta start
working for Google.
I know, right?
Or sell the stupid award, one of the two.
So, for me, I was like, oh, I don't want to spend that much money on a thing, but I said I would go, whatever. But then kind of this weekend, I was like, I'm just going to try and relax and have fun. And, you know, so end up just like leaving Sunday, driving up, going to the show at FedEx Field, which they have a great football stadium. Like, it's nice to actually look at, you know, be inside a modern stadium. just saying.
Chargers are playing in Charlotte this year.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, Charlotte's kind of a dated stadium. It looks like 1992 threw up and then created a stadium.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you've been there.
Ed Hockley took me to that game. I drove myself there. Ed Hockley gave us the tickets.
I had to go to Will Call and get the tickets.
But it was awesome. It was. I don't think I've been to a concert that big. That's a big stadium, right? What does that thing hold? 100,000 people? 90,000? It's big.
Well, for football, probably 80,000, but for a concert, probably more.
The top row wasn't open, but it was just packed.
What was the average age of everybody?
I would say 30s, 40s. There was young people, but I would say it's mostly 30s, 40s.
We're going to a concert and seeing the old people stoned and drunk and
not really.
If I go to a Journey concert, you know, you get the younger people, Journey fans there, but you get like when we went to go see Steve Miller, so the average age had to be 50 plus.
Mm-hmm.
I was a kid there, and it's like you see all these people stoned and they're like, it's like, and they're up dancing and stuff like that. Hey, sit down. It's not Woodstock, buddy. Sit down.
No, I would say it was a good mix. There was people my age, people a little bit older, but not like super old.
I'm just worried about someone falling down and breaking a hip, and then the ambulance comes, and of course, then it interrupts the show, and I got to sit there longer.
But it was like the stage was huge, and I shot some video of it. I posted on Facebook.
I saw it,
but it was a really good show, and I had concerns about Axl Rose because I mean, singing the way he sings for 30-something years, you destroy your voice. But he stand up, he'd still scream. He could still do most of the things. I mean, you can tell it's a little bit. I think the biggest tough part for him is he gained a little bit of weight, and he's actually lost some weight now, but he was kind of a bit overweight to start this concert series. And he actually sued Google to remove the fat Axl Rose themes memes.
Can you do that?
I guess you can try. He's trying. But if you actually Google Axl Rose images, it's the first image that pops up.
So if he knew you and your friend who worked for Google were there, would he have stopped the show and said, I'm not singing another note until those two Google fascists leave the damn concert area?
If it was like, you know, 90s Axl Rose, very well. He used to like jump out into the audience and like beat people up. So, but Jack, I don't know if you're near a computer, but if you just Google Axl Rose,
I will do that right now.
And you can see It's the first image. It's not very flattering by any means.
But it goes by what most people are hitting on, right?
I guess. But it's AXELROZE or ROSE, sorry.
Axl Rose. Let's see. Axl Rose Twitter. Oh, yeah. Okay. Angry Axl Rose.
So there's like jokes like welcome to McDonald's.
We got fun and games. We got Happy Meal.
This weight gain will bring you to your knees.
You know, I wouldn't even notice it. Don't even recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully he continues to kind of get healthy and because it was just, you could tell, like, he would get winded.
But can he still
like
sing? I mean, that's really all that matters.
Well, he could, but you've seen music videos like, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. He was like the Snake Man. He'd do all these moves and stuff like that. And he still kind of, he did the moves, but it just didn't have the same effect. But
he looks like Meatloaf.
But, you know, I give him credit for getting out, to actually showing up to the shows. And as he continues to perform, hopefully, you know, he'll kind of get in rock and roll shape.
It's good that he can still sing, because like you're saying, over time, I went and saw Van Halen last year, and you know, David Lee Roth, I don't even think he attempted to sing anymore. He was just
watching Van Halen.
He's just telling stories, and I enjoyed it because I never got to see him in concert, but it was, you know, I always liked Van Halen. But he's telling stories, and some people didn't like the fact he was just telling stories and like, oh, just sing. I go, he can't. Because again, you had the people over 50 who were stoned, and you know, they're throwing bottles at the stage.
But David Lee Roth was never much of a singer anyway. In all fairness, David Lee Roth,
he was more of a rapper type guy. He just, just a gigolo. You know, he just mouthed the word, but he didn't even try to sing.
But he could do the screams and stuff like that. But it was still a great show. Slash, I love Slash. Like he did this. It's kind of famous from their shows, but he did like a cover of the Godfather theme, but it was like a heavy metal theme version of it, which was really cool. And then it kind of went into Sweet Child of Mine. They put on a great show. We had a great time. They had like over 2.5 hours playing. Played all their big hits. I don't think there's one of like their staple songs they didn't play. So it was good. It was a lot of fun. Had a good time.
That's good. You got out and had a good time. That's what it's all about.
But you know, we got in traffic on the way there. So it was like five hours to get there, and then I drove back Monday morning. So it was like 10 hours of driving, but it was worth.
Oh, so you stayed in a hotel up there?
Yeah, I crashed at my coworker's hotel. Because originally I was going to drive back. It's like, it's 1 a.m. I'm not going to drive back. Can I just sleep in your room? Anyway.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
good time.
It was a good time. But yeah, so that's...
I was power washing.
That's
so
good.
That's
exciting.
That was fun.
You could have been listening to Guns N' Roses on your headphones.
I'm going to electrocute myself. Because I got the extension. It's like I had the regular power wash, but I got like an 8-foot extension. This is my tip of my house, like 35 feet high. Still can't get to it. It's like I get a bigger ladder, higher ladder to get up and get some of that stuff up there. But I got most of it. But it was just like, it was like a waterfall coming back. But it was 100 degrees outside, so I didn't really care. Except there are a few wasp nests that came flying down. One hit me and I just smashed it. Oh, I'm sorry, Greenpeace. I picked it up, gently picked it up and put it into the woods, dried it off. And said, "Okay, you're good to go."
Were there still like hornets in it or wasps?
I don't know. They probably were dead.
They're probably attacking you if that's the case.
Yeah, I didn't know they were up there. I was just spraying. They just looked like dirt and stuff. Well, first, I tried. I got that one side of the rain gutter, and I got to try and fix. And my roof it's more like, it's not even 45. It's like a 30-degree. It's like a deep. So I go, all right, let me try and do this. I got a harness. That's how I've been up on my roof. I got a harness. I go, I'm going to try and go down there and try to get into the rain gutters. And so the roof, you know, it's what, 14 years old. So it's probably the shingles are not, you know, brand new, the weather out here. So I kind of hit, so I start sliding. I grab the rope and hold myself there, and I go, about a foot from the edge here. I go, which I wouldn't have, I wouldn't have fallen straight to the ground because the harness would have held me.
Mm-hmm.
And the rope, probably I've been dangling on the side of the house until, well, until somebody could get a ladder so I could get off. So I decided, I don't want to hang there for 7 hours. I'm going to pull myself back up. And so I got to get a ladder and get the rain gutters that way.
Well, that's good.
At least I was thinking, it goes back to Dale's, you know, adventure. And I go, I'll wear a harness.
That's good. That's good. You don't want to pull a Dale.
No, I don't.
You don't want to go full Dale, because then you'll quit a podcast.
I know. I'll become bitter.
Anyway.
I'm kidding, of course.
Of course.
I'm already bitter.
Let's see, anything else? That's kind of what's been going on in my world. Any interesting, any movies you've seen, stuff like that that you want to talk about?
Let's see. I finished Silicon Valley. Did you watch the finale of Silicon Valley?
Oh, I haven't. I have not yet.
Okay.
But I have enjoyed the season so far. I'm up to, like, the end.
Okay. Do you watch Veep?
I just started catching up on this season. I think I'm, like, the second or third episode in.
All right. So that, I started watching Deadwood again just because I could.
Why not?
Really, I haven't done much of anything because there's a lot going on. But, mm-hmm. No, that's basically all I've done. Haven't done much of it.
So now the we talked about it a little bit before, but Cleveland won their championship.
Yeah.
And now San Diego has the distinction of being the most miserable sports city in the United States.
You hear about it daily. And like I said, people were sitting, I go, yeah, but they can still claim they live in San Diego.
But here's like, so they did some studies on Bleacher Report or something like that. There's actually like a sports misery index that they do, and now like San Diego is the most miserable sports town, like for their fans. So even saying or that, oh well, at least they're in San Diego. No, they're still miserable.
You're miserable, but you still can say, I can wake up and I'm not sweating today.
Yeah.
It's not 100, like here today, it was hot and humid today. I walked outside, I go, oh God, it sucks out here today. It's so hot and humid. And then it rained all day today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least you can say, yeah, but I'm still in San Diego. I mean, it's all we have.
Yeah, but at this point, it's time.
No, I won a championship.
It's time. It's time.
It's like when did you see the Ben Affleck rant about Tom Brady and stuff like that?
So everybody's like, you got to watch it. He's like, you know, hammered. I was like, I don't care. I don't need to hear more stupid crap, like, you know, stroking Tom Brady's ego. And I don't care.
I said I get out F-bomb. I mean, I kind of did a joke on the thing, but I don't get why Patriot fans get – who ca- you've been the best team for 17 years, 18 years.
Absolutely.
Who cares what anybody else thinks?
Yeah, you're 100% right.
I'm from a city and root for teams that don't win.
Yeah.
I'm the worst sports index team, misery index of anyone in the nation. It can't even be disputed. I mean, it's just, we are the winners of that. One Super Bowl appearance in 50 plus years, plus the teams talking about moving. You think I care about your, again, the whole deflate gate, the joke anyway. But I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Like nobody feels sorry for you. Nobody. Not a single person.
He's innocent. You know, everyone does it. And then you go, see, he was innocent. I don't care anymore. I don't care. Stop talking about it.
But speaking of like being a miserable San Diego sports fan, so Colleen for Father's Day got Zach and I matching Padres hats.
And I have the same hat. Ironically, I have the same hat.
So we can all like three generations, wear the same hat, but,
I'm trying to get my bill to go, round.
But, he actually wore it and it was like really cute and adorable.
It was great. It was a great pick.
But I there's like a certain sense of like dread that, I'm cursing him to root for this team. But
you got to be thinking, though, okay, in his lifetime, Maybe, but how many years of the Cub fans, generation after generation, have never achieved anything?
But, you know, at least my, I think my saving grace for him is that his mom's a Yankees fan, so that can be as an American League team, so at least he can maybe root for a team that will win something.
Yeah, but they're bad. They're bad right now, too.
They're bad, but they have. If I had to choose between the two bad teams right now, which one's probably going to rebound quicker, it probably is the Yankees.
Well, look at the Padres. They have John Jay, who teams were talking about trading for. He maybe could have got something for him, and he breaks his forearm.
I know.
Come on, really? And I know I should feel bad for John Jay, the player, but
he's
I felt back for Jack the fan. Because he's a free agent next year.
Yeah, and we don't need him.
We're not going to sign him because all our talent that we have in the minors is in the outfield.
Yeah.
And the best players we have on the team, most of them are in the outfield. So, again, my problem with the Padres is just come up with a plan.
And stick to it, yeah.
Last year you were all in, and I liked it. I watched most of the game. I think I've watched two or three games this year. Again, I've had other problems going on. I've been all over the place, back and forth between San Diego. Haven't really felt like watching baseball since I got back. And just different things. So, you know, again, I can't blame it all on the Padres, but have a plan.
Yeah.
Have a plan. That's all you ask.
Well, and I think they're getting to that now, and I understand why they did. They wanted to drum up excitement for the All-Star game, and it backfired. It didn't work.
No.
But I think if they're really going to do the rebuild – they're at least Preller is getting a lot of good young talent and is building up the farm system.
But if you look at our history of drafts, they traded a lot of young talent away.
That was
the problem. But I like Myers.
At least Myers, like we gave up Joe Ross and
Trey Turner.
But I think Myers is a future MVP. Like I think if he stays healthy, he's a future MVP.
Well, he's a future All Star. I mean, he's a future. He's someone you can build a team around.
Yeah.
They even talked about trading him. I go, what are we doing here?
Yeah, if they traded him, I would be really ticked.
He's 25 years old.
Yeah, yeah. Trade Kemp, trade Norris.
He's effing 25 years old.
Yeah, he's just getting into his prime. So hell no. And we have control. We control him for another like 3 or 4 years. So
well, 2019, he's good through.
So you know, anyway.
And then people say, well, he's going to want a lot of money. I go, you're going to have to pay these guys. You're paying Kemp $20 million.
Yeah.
You're paying Melvin Upton $20 million. Or, yeah.
18 or something like that. But
is
yeah.
it Melvin Upton? He's Melvin Upton now. He's
yeah, Melvin
Upton
Jr., yeah.
He's DJ before, but now he's Melvin. So, and I actually like him. I think he's been pretty productive.
He's rebound. He's done really well this year. He's played better than his brother has, who's making a lot more money.
His war is 3.5.
Look at you talking modern baseball statistics.
Well, I just saw it on one of the Padre message boards, and it's 3.5. I know the war is pretty scientifically proven to be fact, but I go by the old, does he hit the ball? Does he catch the ball? Can he run the
bases?
Wins
above replacement. It's important.
I get it, but I just come on. Can't we just have some fun? What is everything?
But baseball's all about statistics. That's the point.
No, they screwed it all up with the steroids. So
well, now you got to start over. Now you got war to worry about.
I mean,
war.
I didn't even know that Alex Rodriguez had 695 home runs lifetime. No one even talks about it.
Yeah, because it's a tainted record.
Yeah, nobody. I mean, when I was a kid, people go, "Oh my God, Willie Mays has 600." I mean, people talked about that stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's like. Alex Rodriguez has 695 home runs, and nobody talks about it at all.
Mm-hmm. But again, just it has a lot. Well, and it shows you how like powerful the sports press is in baseball, right? You look at Tony Gwynn. The press loved him because he was a great guy. But you know, when he died, like it was the sports world mourned. And then you have somebody like a Barry Bonds, who was just horrible to the press, and he does not have a good reputation.
No,
so it's all relative, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
But anyway, enough of the sports talk. It is now time for the five questions for Jack.
Oh, good, because I didn't have any for you.
Well, it's not the season premiere
not,
here, so
not that I want to do it, but.
To keep with tradition, season premiere starts with you. So,
and it started with Lost.
It did. It was lost questions. It was questions I lost.
If you would have asked me which podcast it started with, I couldn't have told you. Well, I never would have guessed Lost.
Let's get the old song ready. Here we go.
The five questions for Jack. The five questions for Jack. What will it say? Nobody knows. One thing's for sure, almost anything goes. The five questions for Jack.
All right, it is the five. The object of the five is to get three out of the five questions right to win this week's The Five.
What do I win?
You don't win a podcast award. You got to sign up for Loot Crate to get that. But respect?
I don't need that.
Is that a thing?
I don't care.
Anyway, so we've talked about San Diego sports more than we could ever care to.
Then we should have.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's our thing. So.
Maybe that's why we haven't won an award since 2006.
Yes.
It's a curse of the Chargers losing that playoff game to the Patriots.
But we'll focus on the previous most miserable sports town in America, Cleveland. And we'll talk about these questions will be related to the Cleveland sports curse, which I think you should still do well on because I think Cleveland is your surrogate second city, is at least in how you've touted it on this podcast.
I enjoyed my time in Cleveland, and I plan on going back again this year. Chargers are playing Cleveland on December 24th.
So these questions are related to the Cleveland sports curse.
Okay.
All right. So until Cleveland Cavaliers, led by LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, defeated the Golden State Warriors in Game 7.
When it was 3-1, I thought Cleveland was done.
I think everybody did. I don't understand why LeBron gets all. I kind of understand because I think there's people being haters, but. Like, at this point, he came back to his hometown, promised to deliver him a championship, gave him the championship, almost single-handedly, brought them that championship. So, take it, like, lay off the guy.
And Steph Curry threw his mouthpiece. He was so upset.
Yeah. Now, Cleveland, unlike San Diego, has three major sports teams. So they have the Browns of the National Football League, the Cavaliers of the National Basketball. Actually, four.
Okay. Technically, they only have three. Because do the Browns count?
Well, they did. They did have an NHL team, but they don't anymore. But so counting the Browns, Cavaliers, Indians, and their former NHL team, the Barons, they endured this unprecedented amount of combined seasoned drought, championship drought.
It was since 1962, 61.
I'm not going to say that because that might be a question as well, but I want to know how many combined seasons.
Combined seasons.
So all of this, the
well, that's not fair. The Browns left for a while. Browns didn't win a championship.
I'll give you a hint. It's above 100.
Above 100. Okay. So the Barons, geez.
And I'll give you a within five.
The Indians haven't won since 50 something, 54 maybe. So that's 62. All right, 62. Cleveland Cavaliers, say 35, 97. I'm doing the math in my head. Sorry, it makes for good podcasting. I'm going to say 181.
How many?
181.
A little over 147.
Okay, I forgot how many years Cleveland was the football team was gone. That's like what, 6 years, 5 years, something like that.
Somewhere around there.
I was gonna say 150, and I said, nah, it's too easy.
The last team before the Cleveland Cavaliers to win a championship was an NFL championship, so pre Super Bowl, in this year.
1960.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Wrong. 1964.
Ah.
That ends a 52-year drought. The San Diego's had a longer drought since theirs was 63.
Yes.
But again, it's only been roughly a two-sport town, even though there's been a couple basketball teams here.
Chargers did challenge the Bears to a playoff game. And the Bears said, no, we don't want to.
Yeah.
Because the Chargers probably would have won.
Probably.
That team was loaded.
It was loaded, man.
Well, it was voted. I had a book. It was voted the top 10 professional football teams of all time, 1963 Chargers. Look it up, people.
The Browns and Broncos both returned to the AFC Championship game in 1988, with the Browns down 38-31. And late in the quarter, Browns running back Ernest Biner was handed the ball near the goal line.
Two-yard line.
Biner, who was in the midst of a great performance, was stripped of the ball, and the Broncos are covered on their two-yard line. The Broncos surrounded an intentional safety and went on to win 38-33, while Biner's blunder became known as this.
The mistake by the lake.
Actually, this was the fumble, I thought.
Oh, the fumble, I don't know. The mistake by the lake. that was building of a stadium there, wasn't it?
Yes. but the fumble is the correct answer. It's known as the fumble.
Oh, the fumble?
Yep.
I just felt bad for Ernest Biner and Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah, that's where his curse. Got transferred to the San Diego Chargers.
That guy, people point to his playoff record as not being a great coach. He had some of the worst luck. I mean, just terrible luck. I mean, sometimes you have to have luck.
That's true.
He didn't have it.
That's very true. Let's see, the Cleveland Indians came close to winning their World Series game in Game 7 of the 1997 World Series. They had a lead into the bottom of the ninth inning before this pitcher blew the save to the upstart Florida Marlins. So which pitcher blew the save in the ninth inning of Game 7 of the World Series for the Cleveland Indians?
Oh, God. It wasn't Schiraldi. Schiraldi was Boston. Former Padre. I can't remember who it was, but I knew it was the Marlins, but I can't remember who the pitcher was.
It was Jose Mesa.
Jose Mesa, that's right. Jose Mesa. You had one of the Fu Manchu mustache.
Yes. Since their last World Series... in 1954, some reporters...
Oh, so I was right.
You were right, but that wasn't a question, so sorry.
Oh, sure.
the reporters have called their curse the curse of this.
The curse of Bob Feller.
Final answer?
I don't know. Curse of the lake. It's not the curse of Bob Feller, but... The Indians curse, the curse of Joe Charbonneau.
final answer is the curse of Chief Wahoo, their Native American caricature.
That's right.
Who was on the hat until 2013 when it was replaced with the Block C, which it had earlier in time. So
yeah, and that's paid off dividends because they.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho. All right, well, that is it for the five. Jack, you did not win.
Oh, for five, but yeah. I did say, don't I get anything for the 54 World Series?
No, because that wasn't a question. Sorry. I can't bend the rules just to help you win. It's not how it works.
Obviously, that's not how it works.
All right, well, that is it for this season premiere of the Ramblecast. Definitely check out the other shows we're doing, like The Married Man. If you like Game of Thrones, we just podcasted about this whole sixth season with the wonderful Nick, even if his internet was not so wonderful. Definitely check that out. Also, during the summer, there is The Broadcast, which is a female counterpoint to The Married Man show. Also, Hell on Wheels for its final season, the final last half of its final season. Jack and Cindy will be podcasting about it this summer, which is a lot of fun. We will
till July 9th.
Till July 9th. And also, we will be at Comic-Con this year. I don't think we can officially confirm that we have a panel, but we will be there, and we will be enjoying our friends and family in San Diego. Yes.
Someone said sent us a thing for the New York Comic-Con. Should we try again?
Sure, why not?
All right, I'll send it in then, and just, you know, I can take the rejection.
but we'll definitely
You know what I'll do?
What?
I'll take a pitch for the award. I don't want to put any more information. There you go.
So we'll be at Comic-Con this summer, and definitely check out the Married Man Show, which we've had a rotating guest host, which has been great, new perspectives, and it's been a lot of fun post-Dale departing mid-season. But that has been what's going on. Definitely check it out. You can sign up for all of it or subscribe to all of it with our whole enchilada feed, which has all of the shows that Jay and Jack Productions make. But say there's a specific show that you like, or there's a couple that you like, but there's some that you don't like. You can subscribe to the feeds individually as well. Which are all there. You can check out all of our shows at jayandjack.com. You can also become a patron by going to jayandjack.com by clicking the Become a Patron link. You can also see a list thanking all of our patrons. And I'd be remiss to not mention three people that contribute a significant amount. That's Eckhart Richter, Tack from Tokyo, and Brad from Chicago. Thank you guys so much for your contributions, and thank you to all 130-plus of our patrons. You guys make this show possible. Also, like Jack said, if you want your own podcast award, sign up for this month's Loot Crate over at lootcrate.com/JayandJack. If you use the promo code JayandJack, you get a special discount on your first month's order. All right, that is it for this week's Ramblecast.
Oh, I just want to point out, too, there's no truth to the rumor people are calling Dale now Shelley Long. I'm just saying that it might be too soon to say that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Or not. all right, guys, that is it for this week's episode. We'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.